The reading today is from Jonah chapter 1. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find who is reasonable for this calamity." So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, as they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him.
Thank you. The last verse in that is, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." That's the bit we know about the story, isn't it? That's the bit we're taught, that Jonah went in a whale, didn't he? But when you actually look at scripture, it's a fish. Very big fish. Giant fish. Now, I told you that we were going to look at gifts of service. So what's Jonah got to do with gifts of service? I think Jonah, it was interesting because there are so many scriptures that talk about gifts of service, how we can serve God, what we can do, that I could have picked. I'm sure a lot of you could kind of shout them all out and tell me them. There's Romans 12 that we looked at a few weeks ago as well. But nothing felt right. And then God kind of gave me Jonah out of the middle of nowhere. And I realised, don't know about you, but when I first started following Christ and suddenly realised I had to be actively doing something, I did a Jonah. Okay? Am I the only one in the room that's ever done a Jonah? No. We do, don't we? We think we can run away from God. How's that worked for any of you? Yeah? We can be frightened. We can lack confidence. We don't want to make a fool of ourselves, and we don't want to step outside our comfort zone. And then there's the self-doubt. Who am I that God would use me? Who am I? You are a child of God. We've been hearing that a lot lately, haven't we? Surprisingly enough. What's interesting is ancient historians say that Nineveh was the largest city in the whole world at that time. the biggest city, known city of its time. The other interesting thing is it wasn't a Hebrew city. It wasn't part of Israel. Any of you knew that before? It wasn't within God's land, God's people. It was outside of that. And it was actually a pagan city, Gentile city. So not only is Jonah being asked to go and tell somebody God's not happy with you, which is never an easy one to give, is it? But actually, it was a city that nobody knew who God was necessarily. That's a big ask, isn't it? That's huge. I want you to go somewhere that's the biggest place on earth and tell them they're all sinners. But by the way, they don't know who I am. You'd have thought God might go, you know what, I'd kind of like you to go to Nineveh and tell them who I am. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be an easier way of doing things? Oh no, God wants you to go and tell them they're all sinners and they're going to die unless they repent. And then we wonder why Jonah wants to run away. Because Tarshish is actually, at that time, thought to be the city at the end of the world. Okay? So it's as far away from Nineveh as you could possibly imagine. So he's not just going next door. We all do it though, don't we? We all go stick our head in the sand or just go, no, I can't have heard God right. There's no way he asked me that. Yeah? I know I've done it. You just need to ask Mark. But we can't escape the presence of God. God is everywhere. There is nowhere you can go, nowhere you can run out of the hand of God. Now, there are times where that's reassuring, yeah? There are times where that can be pretty scary if you're doing a Jonah and running away. And you're sitting there going, okay, Naomi, but you're still not telling me what this has got to do with service. Now, over the last couple of weeks, and don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do it again, I asked you to sit with someone you didn't know and pray for them. That was tough, wasn't it? Yeah? I know it was tough. Believe it or not, I find it tough too. But God is with you when you do that. And actually, the person you're with is probably finding it just as tough as you are. So often we think we're the only ones who feel a particular way. When actually, if you talk to somebody, they'll tell you they feel exactly the same way. All we've got to do is take that one step. That one moment of vulnerability to step out. So, I'm going to ask you to step out. Again, God is calling this church to step out. God's been pushing us, hasn't he? In places we've not been before. Yeah? And you have been amazing. Because when we step out into what God asks us to do, amazing things happen. Even kitchens can get done. I'm in faith. God has a rich and wonderful path for this church to walk. But how are we going to do that? Because if God has a rich and wonderful path for us to walk, guess who's going to tell us where to go? The milkman? On, you need to wake up. It's getting warm in here. I'm going to start getting... Can you open the door at the back, actually? Let's get some air through here. It is quite warm, isn't it? Are you awake still?
Yes.
Okay. So who needs to tell us where we're going to go then? Yay! Really easy. But how do we know? How do we know where God's asking us to go? Any ideas? Ask him. And listening. But that also means what? Willing to do it. But what's the step before doing it? Spending time with the Holy Spirit. So we've asked God, we've listened. Then what are we going to do?
Do it.
There's a step before I'm trying to get you to. Sorry? Yeah, praise him. But are you going to tell anyone or are you going to keep it a secret? Test it. Now, who here spotted a test situation in Spark last week? This shows how many people don't read Spark. Peter, I'm so sorry. Because actually, I want to say thank you to you this week. You've done an amazing job on Spark. I appreciate your service to the church. And he's jazzed it up a bit. Last week, there was a paragraph in Spark that said, during worship last week, a member of the congregation was given a picture of the manse, surrounded by angels acting as bouncers protecting the building. We thank God for his love and his protection. Now, I'm not 100% sure, because I forgot to ask before this morning. That person hasn't done anything like that before. It took a lot for that person to come to me and go, I had a picture. Not only did I have a picture, but I want to share it. And I'm asking, that is prophecy. Now, prophecy has this big word that actually can be quite scary and can cause us all to do a Jonah and hide under the bed. Because it can be put on a big pedestal of prophets and all the rest of it and being sent to go and damn a Gentile city. I'm not asking you to go and damn a Gentile city. Because what's interesting is when we are told that we will be given a gift of prophecy and that we are to use it in service of the church, the next part of the verse is, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. They are not saying, God is not saying, right, I'm going to send you to Nineveh and damn the entire city when they don't even know who I am. God's not asking that of you. God is saying, I'd like you to share what I tell you. Because if you've been told something by God and you keep it to yourself, what are we supposed to do? Now, as your minister, this is the bit I find hard. As your minister, I will be answerable to God one day for what you do. Thanks for that. Anyone want this job? So, if you've been given, if God has spoken to you and said something that is for the church and you don't tell me or any of the leadership, I'm going to go before God and God's going to say to me, why didn't you? And I'm going to be sitting there going, I'm sorry. Because I didn't know. As a church, we want to walk the path of God, yeah? We want to get out into the community and share the love of God with everyone who doesn't have it, to give them the hope and joy that we have. It's not something we want to keep secret and hidden in this building, is it? No? So, might be helpful, do you think, maybe, to not just listen to God, but to share it with everyone else? And you're all going, don't look at me. Don't pick on me, Naomi. You can run away if you like. But we already know how that works. We have a choice. We can either do things our way, or we can do them God's way. And as Jonah found out, doing it God's way works a lot better. There's a cost when we don't do it God's way. I had an interesting conversation at the conference, nothing to do with the topic of the conference. We were talking about sat-navs. Who uses a sat-nav? Okay, about half of you. Now, I hated sat-navs. My mum taught me to read a map when I was young, and my brother and I used to fight, actually, over who could be the one to tell mum where to go on the map. Because we loved it. We enjoyed it. So for me, it seemed a cop-out. I have to say, always use a sat-nav. As many of you will know who've asked me how I get to work and which road I use, and my answer, more often than not, will be, I don't know, I follow the sat-nav. But we were having a conversation about it, in that you have a choice. When you have a sat-nav, you have a choice. Do you do what it tells you, or don't you? Do you blindly follow it, or don't you? Now, when I first started using a sat-nav, I used to tell it I knew better than it did, and boy, did I get myself into some pickles. In fact, I ended up going into Birmingham when I was supposed to be leaving Birmingham at one point, because I knew what I was doing. And believe me, once you're in, it's a difficult place to get out of. And I did exactly the same in London. I'm a slow learner. I'm not saying you cut off your common sense, okay? Even when we're using a sat-nav, if it tells you to turn into a river, guess what? Don't do it. If it tells you to drive off a cliff, can I also suggest, don't do it. And we laugh, but we do that, don't we? Do we blindly follow it, or do we actually trust it? Now, I can tell you now, God is far more trustworthy than a sat-nav. Okay? God is not going to stick you in the field in the middle of nowhere, unable to turn round and unable to get out. It's not going to send you. God is not going to send you over a cliff. Ish. We can trust in what God says, but here's the but. We also use our common sense. So when we hear God speak to us, talk to us, it's a feeling or audibly or however it is you hear God, because there are as many different ways as there are people in this room and more. We don't just blindly shut off our brain. So, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something that would be so ridiculous, you'd know. God turns around and tells you he wants you to plant marigolds every 6 inches around the car park in the church. Pretty sure that's not going to be God. I'd say you have a thing for marigolds, and we might need to talk about that, but... So, we have common sense. It was given to us by God. And we are told when we believe we've heard God say something to test it. Now, something else I've learned, as a minister, as a Baptist minister, God telling me to be a minister has been tested by over 200 people. 200 people have gone to God, at least. I gave up after I hit 200, and said, do you want her to be a minister? And they've all believed God said yes. I think we're pretty much on the right track there, that God might have actually told me to be a minister. It's a good job considering I am one now. And this, you know. So there are ways of testing things. Now, I know that most of you in this room haven't done this before. At least that's what you tell me. Because actually, you have done it. You're here this morning. Why are you here this morning? God told you. Now, it might not have been a conscious go to church, but there's something in you that comes here. I've had a conversation with somebody where they say, I don't know why I keep coming back, but I'm still here. Brilliant. Because God's got you here. We do it without realizing. But as soon as we put a label on it of prophecy, everyone runs for the hills. So I'm not going to. I'm going to say we need to listen to where God wants us to go. And if God is telling you something, or you believe God is telling you something, please come and talk to us. Because otherwise you are denying this church the guidance of God. Now, believe me, you are very likely to mess up. Unless you're holier than me, which isn't difficult. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. And we're all learning, aren't we? We're all on a new journey, trying all of this stuff out. Yeah? Please tell us. Because it's a gift given to you by God for his church. So when you get that voice in your head going, yeah, but he's not going to tell me. He would have told Naomi if he was going to tell me. Tell it to shut up and come and speak to me. Tell it to go away. Say, no, I'm a child of God and my father speaks to me. Because it's interesting how if a whole church starts doing that, quite often you'll get a number of people all come with exactly the same thing. Because guess what? As a leadership, that then means we know what we're doing. Because if four of you, independently of each other, have all been told the same thing, I think we can pretty much state that's God. Now, if you were all in the same prayer group, then maybe I would question it. But do you understand what I'm saying? But it means you need to step out. Use the voice God has given you. Ask him. You'd be surprised. And you can test it yourself. Is it something I was already thinking about? I always find, especially with things for preaching, come at the weirdest times. And quite often, when I'm saying to Mark, I haven't got a clue what passage I'm using on Sunday, and as I say it, the passage comes into my head. And then I'm like, I hadn't thought of that. Or Alison, when we were in the office. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. Or you could be doing something really benign and making tea, doing the laundry. You'd be surprised. Having a bath, having a shower. God knows no limits. This is a safe place to make mistakes. So if you share, and we pray about it as a leadership and believe it's not right, that doesn't mean you were wrong to tell us. Now we live in a society where we're supposed to be really good at most things, yeah? We live in a society that celebrates the achievement. They don't celebrate the trying and the working. How many here give gifts to their kids when they get exam results? Yeah? A number of people do. Youth, put your hands over your ears right now. We prayed about this. You know, what were we going to give our kids? And we were struck by the fact, why are we giving it to them when they get their results? So we didn't. We gave them their gifts when they'd finished their exams, before they got their results. Because they'd worked hard. They put a lot of time and effort in. So actually, I didn't really, I mean, you do as your children, but the importance wasn't the grade. The importance was the work. But we don't do that in this society, do we? Actually, God wants to praise you for the work. Because you learn most by making mistakes. You learn the most. You understand more. The more times you fall flat on your face and God goes, up you get, and you get up, the stronger your faith, the bigger your learning. So I would plead with you, don't rob this church of the guidance of God because you're scared, you're not confident enough. I'm not asking you to come up here and go, God said. In fact, I would discourage you from saying, God said. I believe God may be saying. But don't put yourself in a position of, God said, end of conversation. That's not how it works. But I would plead with you, share with us. Come and speak to me. Come and speak to Alison. Come and speak to John, Rachel, Otmar, Chris, any of the leadership team. Come and say, you know what? I just feel this. I might be wrong, I might be right. And we'll pray about it. We'll discuss it. We'll bring it before God and check it. We are not going to run off and plant marigolds all in the church car park without checking it out first. Oh, I've got to buy some marigolds now. My head is so bad. If the bit as well in Jonah is he was asleep. There's a big storm going on and Jonah's asleep. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because who else was asleep in the middle of a storm? Jesus. Why was Jesus asleep, though?
He was God.
He was God and he knew everything was okay. Yeah? He didn't have to worry about it. You'd have thought Jonah would be awake, though, right? Okay? Because Jonah is running away from God. You thought he'd be afraid and wouldn't go to sleep. But it's another way of showing we do the same thing. We can go through life asleep. We can look like we're awake. And we can walk around and talk and laugh and all the rest of it. But are you actually awake? Fran, you might need to reconnect. Are we? As Christians, are we awake? Are we listening to God? Are we saying, where do I go? What do I do? What is it you want from me today? So I challenge you, let's wake up and not be Jonah asleep in the boat or running away. And towards the end of the story, he gets thrown in the water and swallowed by a fish. But what happens later in the story is that he goes back to God. He realizes his mistake. He repents. And I'll let you read Jonah yourself to find out what happens after that. There is no safer place for us as a church or as individuals than throwing ourselves on the mercy of God and asking him, what do you want from me? What do you want from us here at Springfield Park Baptist Church? God is already moving in this church. Come in any day of the week and you'll see him working in lots of different ways. So, my challenge to you this week is I'd like you to pray and ask God what he has for the church. And no matter how crackers or mad it may sound, I'd like you to come and share it. That can be an anonymous piece of paper stuck on my desk. Okay? I don't mind. I just want us as a church to find our gifts. Now, you might find that this just doesn't work for you. It's not right. Well, that'll be because one of the other gifts I do later on another week, you'll go, oh, yeah, that's me. But give it a go. All of us should be listening for what God is talking to us about. And it might be for you when you ask. But there will be some of you here who you'll get this strong feeling that this is for church. Please act on it. Because it could be that God's showing you your gift of service to this church is praying and seeking his heart for this church and for you to share it. And we need that. Especially as we are in this new season of asking God where he wants us and how he wants us to move. Are you going to give that a go? Okay. Now I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I'd like you to stand up if you're going to give that a go. And I'd like to pray for you. If you're up for giving this a go, I'd like you to stand. Thank you. Whenever you say that as a minister, you never know if anyone's going to stand up. And thank you that there are so many of you. I really appreciate it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church that is willing to step out for you. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit now. Bless these people. Bless this church, Lord. Pray that you would move in the hearts and minds of each and every person here. Guide them, Lord. Speak to them, Lord. Give them the courage in your spirit to speak out. Because you are an amazing and wonderful God who we can trust wholeheartedly. Teach us the sound of your voice, Lord, that we may walk your path for this church. Amen.